Before I begin my meditation for this morning, one of the things that I have found difficult over, the last year, probably a little longer, there has just been so many things that have been happening in our world. We feel bombarded by them, and I mean, it's hard to focus on where are you going to focus? What are you going to talk about? What are you going to think? So this morning I'm using one such story, but it isn't because I want to ignore all the others. There is a story from the Islamic tradition about the Prophet Muhammad. This was after the death of his young son, Abram. The child died as an infant. Some traditions say that the prophet kissed him, wept over him, and stayed close to him until the child's breathing stopped. Those around him seemed unsettled by the depth of his grief. They imagined holiness should somehow rise above sorrow, as though spiritual maturity meant remaining untouched by loss. But the Prophet Muhammad simply said, "The eyes shed tears and the heart grieves." This story has been on my mind over the past few days. You might recall, although as I said, there's been so many things happen, there was a recent shooting at a mosque. Three people lost their lives at this mosque. One was Amin Abdul, the security guard who reportedly warned teachers to lock the school doors before he was killed. Mosque leaders named the other victims as Mansour Kassia, 78, and Nadir Arwood, 57. Kassia, known lovingly as Abu Is, was described by Imam Tahassin as everything to this Islamic center. He repaired things, cooked meals, carried boxes, checked locks, and helped hold the community together. Every congregation has someone or several someones like this. You know, the people who arrive early, stay late, and whose care becomes part of the life of the place itself. Awad lived across the street from the mosque. His wife teaches at the school there. I keep thinking about that ordinary detail, across the street, the kind of closeness that means this was not simply somewhere he attended. It was woven into the geography of his daily life, a place where children learned, a place where people knew his name. And then there was Amin Abdul. Somewhere in the middle of terror and confusion, his instincts moved toward protecting children. Violence always threatens to turn people into abstractions. Victims, statistics, headlines. But these were the human beings inside a beloved community. Men with routines, friendships, responsibilities, histories, and people who love them. Now there are empty chairs where they used to sit. To the wider community, the mosque is meant to be a place where people take off their shoes, wash their hands, bow their heads, and remember God together. Parents bring their children, trusting they will be safe. Families come to pray, learn, share meals, celebrate births, and bury their loved ones. Now that space carries blood and trauma alongside memory and prayer. And I know that this can't be helped to a certain degree, but I think that many of us have become psychologically numb to mass violence because it happens so often that it overwhelms us. Synagogues, churches, mosques, schools, grocery stores, temples, nightclubs, and we move from one tragedy to the next before we can even process the last one. And our numbness comes with a cost. If we stop grieving, we also stop loving fully. Now, Islamic tradition recognizes something important about grief. Tears are not seen as weakness or failure. Grief does not mean a lack of faith. Instead, it shows that the heart was open to begin with. We feel a temptation in our Western culture to rush to explanations. People want to know motives, make political arguments, analyze ideologies, or assign cultural blame. Some of that is important, but the rise of Islamophobia matters. Online hatred matters. The spread of dehumanizing language matters. But before all of that, there is something more human we have to face. Amin Abdullah is dead. Mansour Kassir is dead. Nadir Awad is dead. Children ran from gunfire inside a mosque. Families will never again experience ordinary life in quite the same way. The Sufi tradition teaches that the heart should stay broken open. It should not be shattered by despair or hardened by indifference, but open enough to keep feeling compassion in a violent world. And I think that this may be one of the hardest spiritual practices there is, because violence tempts societies to close off in fear. It makes us want to retreat into our own groups and become suspicious of others. It can cause us to see fewer people as fully human. But every wisdom tradition I know encourages us to move in the opposite direction. Jesus tells his followers to love their enemies. The Buddha teaches compassion, even toward those trapped in hatred and delusion. Islamic teaching says that to kill one innocent person is as though one has killed off all humanity. Now, these traditions are not naive about violence, but they refuse to let violence define who we are in the end. Still, I don't want to rush too quickly toward resolution. Three men are dead. Now an entire community carries trauma inside a place that once felt safe. It deserves our broken-hearted lament. And today, on Pentecost Sunday, when we are celebrating the birth of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples, and filling them up and giving them the power to go out into the world and to preach the gospel. It's something that we should carry within ourselves, for it is something that I think we sorely will need in order to walk through the times that we are experiencing. And maybe prayers start there today, with the willingness to keep our hearts open long enough to mourn what should never have happened in the first place. And so, some more illustration is a prayer for the wounded heart. Holy One, we do not know how to carry so much grief. Holy places become crime scenes. Children learn fear where they once learned prayer. Families wake up ordinary and go to sleep shattered. Today we remember all those victims of violence and all those whose lives now carry this wound. And we remember the people around the world who are experiencing the same kind of senseless violence. But keep our hearts from hardening when violence tempts us toward hatred, toward suspicion, towards numbness. Teach us another way. Let our grief remain tender enough to protect our humanity. And for those whose bodies still shake with fear tonight, for parents holding frightened children, for communities trying to pray through trauma, draw near. The eyes shed tears, the heart grieves. Receive both. Amen.